It is seconds before 9:30, and that means it's time for Food Talk. So welcome to everyone who is interested in home cooking and various unrelated matters. I'm Mary Ann Myers, and I'm here with my fabulous co-host, Linda Perkins. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, Marian. Marian.
I'll take it. Close enough.
I got my apron on.
You do.
First thing this morning is I had my apron on, and it's got this kind of chest pocket that's super handy for my phone, and I poured a cup of coffee into it because I missed my mouth because it was that early. But the phone still seems to work, which is pretty cool.
There you go. And it's wide awake.
Yeah. I just realized that I should probably turn it down.
Yes. Uh-oh. Turn it down or we're all going to know you're missing a call.
Yeah.
So normally I would, start Food Talk by asking you what you've been cooking, but you and I spent all day cooking yesterday together, and so I kind of know some of the things you've been cooking.
Oh, it was so fun. Yeah, just a delicious curry chicken salad and some asparagus soup and some spicy flank steak.
Yeah.
Strawberry jam.
A quiche.
Yeah.
Yeah. We explored asparagus and berries and good things like that.
It was delicious.
It was delicious. And boy, was the kitchen a big old mess.
Yeah.
Do you think, I have a theory that some probably good percentage of people who think they don't like to cook basically just don't like to clean up.
I think, yeah. I think that. And then some of them just are adverse to all the swearing that you need to do.
They need to get over that.
That's actually a thing about having a cooking show on the radio, that you can't cuss. And that is a big part of home cooking.
It is. It's one of the more joyous parts. Oh. And also it atones for so many, oops.
Yeah.
Like the curry powder. Tell the story.
No, because it involves a child.
Well, we won't name names, but it is a specific example of a common error.
Yeah.
And I will tell you that, you tell the story and then I will tell another story the same, because the person who did this is in Legion Company.
Yeah.
We've all done it to some extent.
Yeah. So we were making curry chicken salad yesterday, and there's just a young woman putting in the curry powder, and she didn't know, and we didn't know that she didn't know the difference between teaspoons and tablespoons. So she put in 15 tablespoons of curry powder. Now, 15 tablespoons, if we were to do the math, is 1 tablespoon shy of a cup of curry powder. Now, I don't want any letters from you curry haters out there. I am not selling this curry salad. You don't have to eat this curry salad. But yeah, so we had to fish 10 of the tablespoons back out of it, and they were a little yogurt covered and not exactly
they were done.
Savable. Yeah, yeah.
I'm so
glad that they figured it out before it was all mixed in. Yes. It was just sitting on top,
And the curry salad was fabulous.
Yes.
Because of the rescue effort. So
yes,
that was good.
Yes.
And just a couple weeks before, I'm thinking that it might have been a kids' camp, actually. We were making guacamole, and there was a misread on the part of one of our participants about how much cumin should go in.
Oh, same thing.
Oh, gosh. Tablespoons of cumin.
God.
And nobody caught it. And it was really cumin-y. I don't think anybody actually ate it.
Well, you know how I feel about the price of vanilla. And this is before it was really expensive. But my poor friend Sherry, her daughter and her friend, and maybe they were 13 or 14, they decided to bake something after school, and Sherry was at work. And somehow half a teaspoon of vanilla got turned into 2 cups in their brains. Yeah.
Oh.
And they didn't have 2 cups, and they went around to all the neighbors and they gathered all the vanilla and they put 2 cups in this thing. And it cost Sherry, I'm not making this up, $85 to replace all the vanilla.
As we laugh, because what else can you do? Because we're not allowed to swear on the radio. So,
but it's a cooking show. We should be able to.
You have notes.
Oh, no. It's just so that I don't remember to tell you about the bear.
Oh, yeah. What?
Well, we went to pick up. I bought a bunch of berries, and we went to pick up some of them because I may have bought a four-digit number of pounds of berries.
Yes.
So we couldn't get them all at once. So we were driving about 350 pounds back on Highway 202, and a bear ran in front of the truck. That is the first bear that I have ever seen in Oregon. Isn't that something?
Oh, my gosh.
And we thought it was so funny that we saw it when we had a truck full of berries.
I know. I'm surprised he didn't flag you down and hold you up.
Yabba dabba doo. No, wait. That's Fred Flintstone. What does Yogi Bear say? Hey, boo-boo. It's the same thing, isn't it? I never thought about that. But yeah, by the Lee Wooden Park there, a bear. First one I've ever seen in Oregon.
Wow.
So,
yeah. Well, a bear sighting. I don't guess I've ever seen a bear. I used to have friends in Cannon Beach that would find bears in their yard all the time, and I know that there are still bears, or urban bears, on the peninsula.
Yeah, up in Washington I've seen them, but never in Oregon. Yeah. So cool.
So what have you been cooking outside of our fabulous All Cooks Day?
Yeah, well, I made a pastrami, and that's it's not hard, but it's time consuming, you know, because you make a pickling brine and you pickle it for 7 days, and then you smoke it. I smoke it for 4 hours, and then you cook it, and I cook it sous vide, and that's weird method that where you put it in a vacuum packed bag and then you put it at a certain temperature. I think I cooked mine at 144, so it's a low temperature. You cook it at the temperature that you want the meat to be. At the end, I might have dangled a couple of participles there, but
we won't bite. They're not bait. All of you grammar freaks.
but it turned out good. But when I cut into that, it was hilarious. And I showed you a picture on my phone. It was just this giant fatberg. It was so funny. It was such a not excellent brisket that I bought. It was at least 2/3 fat, and the first half of it was at least 3/4 fat. There was just this thin little line of meat at the bottom, and then it looked like this giant big muffin top of fat, and I had 8 people sitting out in the patio waiting for pastrami sandwiches, and I cut into it and I'm like, and I kept cutting, and it was still like this big old fatberg, and I got halfway through, and the thing weighed 6 pounds, and there's no way I got more than a pound and a half of meat out of there. So everybody had their like pastrami flavored sandwiches.
Sliders. Suddenly they're all sliders.
I know. I'm like, more coleslaw? More coleslaw? Oh, you know what I got for the sandwiches, though?
Where?
There's a brand that's new to me. It might not be new, but it's the first time I've encountered it elsewhere of sauerkraut. Oh my gosh, is it delicious. It is the best sauerkraut I've ever had in my life. It's called habanero sauerkraut, so I was a little afraid that I would, you know, like explode the husband. Yeah. But it's got the flavor.
Poor
but
Dale does not like habaneros.
Well, I think it's that habaneros don't like Dale.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah.
But it wasn't exceedingly hot by any means, and it was delicious. So they have a kimchi too. I bought that, but I haven't tried it yet. I'm excited to try it. But I think it's made in Forest Grove, and it's, you know, that fresh stuff that's probiotic. Yeah. But gosh, it was good.
Well, that's I want to say that I think I may have seen that at the co-op here.
And I noticed it's at both the, you know, the meat places. I went to the new smokehouse. It's pretty impressive. The one that's where the Rio Cafe used to be.
Uh-huh.
And then I saw it someplace else. Oh, Select Market.
I really love that we have a butcher shop now and basically a charcuterie or another butcher shop.
Yeah,
but I mean.
They even had frog legs.
Oh, man.
It's nice. Last time I was in Gully's, there were 7 people in line.
I'm just...
So it's doing good business. I'm really glad.
Yeah, I'm very excited that we have that for our communities.
Yeah.
And if you are not in the heart, in the gritty urban core of Astoria, Oregon, you it's worth a drive to, if you don't have a butcher shop in your neighborhood, try doing that. You'll be a happy person.
Because we got 2. Neener, neener, neener.
We'll share them, though. We will share them with you. All are welcome. You were talking about coleslaw, and I think we made some pretty darn good coleslaw yesterday.
You put mustard in your coleslaw. It's really good. I've never put mustard in my coleslaw
before. Just a little.
Yeah, but it was really good.
Yeah. Yeah, and that dressing could be made without the mustard, and then it would be really classic. Just
I know, but it was like special. It was like the little thing that yeah, just made it.
And a little yogurt.
Yeah, really, really good.
Yeah, it was good. And I think coleslaw, I love in the summertime, even though cabbage is one of those things we can get in the off season too. Mm-hmm. So, but I like coleslaw because it keeps getting good for a few days yeah, in the fridge, and it's great on your pastrami sandwiches.
Yeah.
It's great on any kind of sandwich.
If I had extra pastrami.
Well, that process though explains why pastrami is very expensive.
Yeah, it's a long process.
Yeah.
So you make corned beef essentially, and then you smoke it, and then you cook it. But yeah, it's good.
You're going to do it again?
Yeah, I am. And I'm going to, like, you know, prod the meat and make sure there's actual meat in what I bought before I go through all that work.
Can you, I wonder if the layer of fat, not necessarily all fat,
yeah,
is a key to the flavor and whether one of our butcher shops would be able to do a brisket for you that would be perfect.
Well, I think that I should have trimmed it. And my friend Jerry, who knows a lot more about smoking and meat, she said I should have trimmed it. And I think if I would have cut into that thing and 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 cut into that thing, I would have known that I needed to go back to the store if I wanted to have more than Dale over for dinner. Oh, my gosh. It was just such a surprise. And, you know, when you have a lot of people, it's just more stressful when you realize that, you know, you've done something horrible, like not put the burner on under the rice. I've done that. That's why I like my rice maker so much. I can't do that again.
Oh, my gosh. I like the rice maker for a whole lot of reasons, because yeah, you can do more than rice. Yeah. You are one of the two people I know who most consistently has, like, drop-in guests for dinner.
Oh, I know. It's such a funny thing at my house.
And now, of course, we've told everyone on the radio that that's something that you do, so it'll only get worse.
Well, the other night I had a couple show up about 5:30, so that was fine. And so I just extended what we were eating. But then about 45 minutes later, another couple, but then they're vegetarians. And then when that happens, you're just like, vegetarians, because so a whole new meal. So anyway, that was kind of funny.
Oh,
in a not funny way. No, that's not true. It was fun, but it's just it's a good reason to have 8 freezers.
I cannot even. And this is a woman who has 8 freezers and doesn't have enough freezer room because 1,000 pounds of berries.
Oh my gosh, so many berries. And oh, so the berry guy called. Okay, so we're 1,000 pounds of berries will fit in my truck, but I can't clean 1,000 pounds of berries before they would go rotten and moldy. That's the problem. So I pick them up in batches. So I'm talking to the berry guy on the phone, and he's like, hang on here. A bee just bit my dog. And you can hear his wife in the background. He's like, a bee just bit my dog. But he wants to be accurate, right? Well, I don't know if it was a bee. Might have been a yellow jacket, but something just bit my dog. And so then I'm like, well, and I you know, I don't know what to say. I'm like, well, do you think he's allergic? Do you think he's allergic? And he's like, we got other dogs.
The sunny side, always look on the sunny side of life.
I know, and you think of like cattle farmers as like gritty people, but I didn't know that berry farmers were gritty people. I thought he just had purple fingers. We got other dogs.
So no harm done.
No.
So 1,000 pounds of berries, are they all home now?
No, because I really kind of said yes before I thought it through. So I've got more than half of them, but I might just forget the rest of them. They're not paid for anything, but I mean, I just might forget because, oh man, I got a lot of berries and I got plenty for the bake sale. So
let's talk about quickly the next bake sale coming into view so people can be prepared to partake of fabulous things. We're baking for is it Angels for Sarah's Sanctuary bake sale?
Yeah,
it's here, a fundraiser.
Here in Seaside, we have a place that takes old, it's big old dogs. People like little old dogs, but big old dogs from the animal shelter, the old ones that are smelly and seeping and they're pooping and all that stuff. And then she has them out in a rural area in Seaside, and they can just live their last days, you know, on a comfy bed in a little house with a big field, and they don't have to be in a cage. And so she has one fundraiser a year. It's the 18th of August, and it's coming up. Mary and I are going to make some pies and some carrot cakes and some bread. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, it'll be fun. And it's in Warrenton this year, downtown Warrenton.
Yeah, so there's a place on the corner there in downtown Warrenton that used to be a secondhand store, and they're going to let her have it there as long as they don't rent the place out. And so she's going to finalize the site just a couple weeks before.
We're going to keep you apprised.
Yeah, yeah. But it'll be fun. It's always fun. She has a big old garage sale and a bake sale, and it's just fun.
Yeah.
Good cause.
Yeah. And I'm just looking because we gave the wrong date for
Natel Pie Auction.
Yeah, it's Natel Grange.
Yeah.
I didn't want to say the wrong Grange, but it's the Natel Grange fundraiser.
Send them to the wrong Grange on the wrong day. Woohoo!
Let's do.
The power of radio.
And I got to say that right after Food Talk last time, I got this actually pretty darn polite email from Gary Sunderland with the Grange saying, thanks for the promotion, but you got the date wrong. So I'm looking up the corrected date. Do you remember it, Linda?
Yeah, the 13th.
Okay.
13th of August.
Yeah.
So it's a Sunday.
So these are going to be a couple of times when you have a chance to partake in deliciousness and do some good for the community. And we'll continue to remind you, but Linda and I are going to be at both of these events, and we will know if you don't come. So we're saying put the date on your calendar.
11 of you.
Yes, that's right.
There will be no curry. There will be no fruitcake. Hey, I wrote a song for the pie auction.
You did? Oh my God. And apparently there will be live music. So in addition to dinner and a pie auction, there will be live music by Linda. What?
You want to hear?
Yeah, we all want to hear.
Okay, here we go. No, you don't, but I'm going to do it anyway.
All right.
Grange, Grange, Grange. Grange, Grange, Grange. Grange, Grange, Grange. Grange got food. What do you think?
I can't wait to hear the B-side.
I think I'm going somewhere.
I think it's like number two with a bullet. She's got more, but you have to come to the Grange fundraiser if you want to hear more.
And live that's music. How Marianne stops me from singing on the radio.
There's no stopping you. We don't even want to stop you.
We will. Bye, pie. Bye, pie.
Oh, my gosh. I just can hear radios clicking off all over the county.
I know. We're down to 8 listeners.
I know. But we do have pie. We will give you pie. So yep. Definitely put the dates on your calendar, the 13th and the 19th. 19th of August. And you are listening to Food Talk as if you didn't know, because there's nothing else quite as useless on this radio station. Food Talk on Coast Community Radio, KMUN 91.9 FM, Astoria, Oregon, KTCB 89.5 FM, Tillamook, Oregon. We're streaming at coastradio.org. We're on your mobile using the TuneIn app. Hey, we made some strawberry freezer jam because I had in a fit of enthusiasm, bought like 3 flats of Hood strawberries when they were here a month ago, and then immediately took ill and we couldn't do anything with them. So I tossed them in the freezer, and then they still taste so fabulous with their little mush balls.
That's okay in jam, though.
Yeah. It came out beautiful. I went back last night and put it in jars, and it's pretty.
Yay. You know, I was thinking about your coleslaw, because I really like it and how it has that mustard in it. And I'm in a little bit of rut. I like my coleslaw. It's that one where I just use mayonnaise and sugar and lime juice. And you know what else? I might be in a rut with fruit salad, because always on fruit salad, if I have a fruit salad and I'm going to put something on it, I just do half and half lime juice and honey and then some poppy seeds.
Yeah.
And I like it. And you know how you get in a rut like that?
Yes.
And then you like it and you always do it and you don't do anything different. But I wonder, what do you put on fruit salad?
My default is sour cream and a little tiny brown sugar.
Okay, that's different than mine.
Yeah, but really it's a little creamy, a little savory, a little whatever.
Okay.
So mine is more sweet because I don't put the lime juice or anything in there. But it kind of depends on what's in the fruit salad, I think, too. But more often in the summer, I don't put anything.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's just so good. And the other thing is that if you make too much, it's still okay the next morning for breakfast. Mm-hmm. And if it has dressing on it, maybe not so. But I've been craving fresh spinach salad with a warm vinaigrette. Just love that warm vinaigrette
I make mine with bacon fat to make it extra healthy.
Oh, yeah. Because you have bacon fat left from the bacon you crisped up to put in the salad, of course. Yeah, bacon fat. So good.
Bacon fat and vinegar, sugar, black pepper. And sometimes if I'm going to put hard-boiled eggs in it, I'll take the egg yolks and I'll mix those into the dressing.
That's a great idea.
Into a slurry, yeah.
That's a great idea. And also...
the hard-boiled egg yolks, yeah.
Yeah. Then you don't... the hard-boiled egg yolks.
And the others would be okay, but just not pregnant women.
So the other thing is that if it sits very long with the egg yolks part of the egg yolks get kind of creamy and slimy. Yeah. So putting them in the dressing, perfect. Great idea.
Thank you, darling. It was my grandma's.
Oh, well, grandma, thank you. I think about, I guess that's where I crave that salad, because one of the things that my grandmother used to make that I loved so much as a kid was wilted lettuce salad, and it always had that warm vinaigrette poured over it. It always had a little sautéed bacon and onions, and spinach is sturdier, so it holds up better, but I love the wilted lettuce, and it was always just like, go pick the lettuce and then make that salad. I could have eaten, well, I did eat wash tubs of it over my over my childhood.
We may have the same family.
Oh, we might. I think that my grandparents were, my grandmother was born and raised in Vancouver.
Okay.
But my grandfather was from Missouri, which apparently ends in A. And and that is one of the M states. I know you're a Minnesotan.
MI states. Missouri, Minnesota. Yeah. We are related.
So you're we're totally related.
He had
related.
Two families.
Oh, you know that happens. I think the food would give us away if we try. I think that people who are having like secret lives somewhere else are not. They're not cooks, because otherwise you'd be so busted.
Yeah, yes. And it takes too long to cook to have another family.
Hey, do you ever make donuts?
You know, I have a couple times. I've made yeast donuts. I've never made them without. And it's so funny you ask that, because recently I bought a donut mix that was extremely on sale from King Arthur Flour. So I made little donuts. That's so funny. I mean, it was like in the last week.
And so, was it a yeast donut mix?
No, it was more like a quick, more like a
muffin. Whole old-fashioned donut, which I love those.
Yeah. Have you made donuts recently?
No, I haven't, but I've been talking to somebody about that I know that makes donuts that are fabulous, and but you have to eat them really right away.
Yeah, yeah.
And also, I am bemoaning the fact that glazed donuts, which really are a weakness of mine, and it doesn't have to be donut shaped. It could be a twist, it could be a bar, it could be anything, but it's the yeast with the yeast batter baked with
powdered sugar glaze with milk. Yeah.
Yes. And you know, when you buy them at a bakery, they're only dipped on the top. They are not in the river of glaze and flipped like they should be. In the old days, there was the little trough of glaze. I mean, I don't know how they do it now.
Yeah.
But if they're in a trough of glaze, why are you not flipping them? I am so sad when I take a bite and I realize that there's just some glaze on top.
You know what? If we had a donut making machine here at the station, we would have so many more members.
We would. I think maybe you and I could do a little fundraiser off-site.
Mini donuts.
Because we don't have enough things to do. We could take turns making donuts at the station. Hey, listen, I'm telling you, we have a local coffee roaster that donates coffee here, so we have good coffee. Mm-hmm. We could have coffee and donuts.
See? We would make so much more money.
That's right. All right. Well, we'll talk to the fundraising committee about that.
Oh, Joanne.
Anyway, I guess that was just my rant, is like, why are you not flipping the glazed donut?
When I've made donuts, it hasn't been perfect. They, you know, I think I had the oil at the right temperature, so they weren't oil soaked. But the donuts, once they were risen, they turned out different sizes, and they were hard to get out of the pan. There were just a lot of struggles, like hard to get the risen donut off of its pan without deflating it. And then they were quite different sizes by the time they made it into the oil.
Uh-huh.
And it was hard to get them and even cook them evenly, you know, at even darkness. And so it was just a lot more struggly than I wanted to do for a donut. So yeah. I only did it like twice.
Kind of like pastrami.
Ugh. Fatberg.
If we had the pastrami sandwich followed by donuts for dessert, we would never have to worry about what was going to happen next.
We sound like that guy out of Popeye Wimpy.
Oh, my God. Well, we should be talking about fresh produce and whole grains. We should.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of loath to remind people that Food Talk is a co-production of Coast Community Radio and North Coast Food Web, because seriously, at North Coast Food Web, we do not necessarily encourage donuts and pastrami. However,
no, I'm so sorry. I'm going to get a letter.
We don't discourage them, but we do encourage them in reasonable amounts, accompanied by lots of whole grains and fresh vegetables.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
hey, you know, Teresa Redsife out there on 46 Farm, she's got this kind of cabbage. Is it called something like Saposi, something like that? It's like nothing I've ever seen. It's a cross, and it's a big leaf. It's like a dinner plate, and it's flat, and it's green.
Beautiful.
Oh, my gosh. It's delicious.
And I've been getting that in my Alimenta food kits, and
really?
It is so delicious.
Yeah, it is really something. And so I didn't know what to do with it. And so I just shredded it up, though you had to roll it up like you were doing a chiffonade.
Uh-huh.
And then also I had to cut it the other way, too. Otherwise, it was like spaghetti and really hard to eat.
Yeah.
And then I just put my go-to coleslaw dressing on it. But it's sturdy. I mean, it lasts forever, and it doesn't weep. And it's the stalks of it are kind of nutty flavored.
It's delicious.
Yeah.
It's the size of a collard leaf almost. Like
yeah,
a big
it's huge.
Yeah, it's
really huge.
Big.
Like you could fan yourself with it. It was only 7 degrees, but I'm like, okay, I don't need to, but I could.
You could. You could put it over your head and stay dry in rain.
Yeah.
It's really, but it is really delicious.
Yeah.
And I had mine actually mixed in with some whole grains, some steamed whole grains.
Okay.
And it was really good that way too.
Okay, now I haven't cooked it yet. So you liked it?
I really
liked it.
It
seems like it would cook up really good.
Yeah. It's I have been trying, because someone else is putting a kit together that I cook. I have been trying a lot of things that I wouldn't think to buy,
mm-hmm.
because you know how we're always talking about getting stuck in ruts,
mm-hmm.
that sometimes when I go to a farmer's market or the co-op or someplace, I will like get what I need on my list.
Mm-hmm.
I don't wander around as often as I should and go, oh, look at that. Let's try that.
Mm-hmm.
So having somebody else decide what I'm going to cook mm-hmm. is very cool in terms of trying a whole bunch of new things. And that's one of the new things. And also a whole lot of grains that I hadn't done a lot of or done creatively before. So that's good. I had farro last night. Farro.
That's so funny, because when you said that, that's what I thought of, because I'd never had farro before Andy cooked it.
Yeah, it's just delicious.
Yeah.
Makes a great salad. So I encourage whole grains and fricka. Fricka.
Yeah, I'd never even heard of it until Andy
it's
cooked
so
it. Yeah, yeah.
Good. Yeah. So, yay, try new things.
Mm-hmm.
Try new things. And speaking of using all the curry and all the cumin,
yeah.
I really do have to go back to the spice shop now. I think we're out of a lot of key ingredients
yes.
because of math errors. What I've also been discovering in cooking from a kit that's made up for me mm-hmm. ahead of time with instructions is that you can do these ridiculously fabulous meals over and over and over again, all that taste different, and all you have basically is salt, pepper, and maybe some fresh lemon juice.
Yeah.
And a little olive oil.
Yeah.
And I am stunned by that, because if you saw my kitchen counter, I have like a tray of salts,
yeah.
a tray of peppers,
yeah.
and then a tray of everything else. So I really have a lot of spices, which I normally would
mm-hmm.
use all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I have winnowed them down to the ones that I use, but holy cow,
mm-hmm.
what you can do with fresh lemon juice,
mm-hmm.
olive oil, salt, and pepper.
When we're in this time of year when the ingredients are so exceptional.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And you're not trying to turn a potato and a turnip into something.
Yeah, I know. I'm on a fennel kick. Do you
oh,
use
yeah,
fennel?
Yeah, I really like fennel.
Yeah.
I make a potato salad that is, you know, you cook the potatoes and then chill them, and then shave fennel.
Ooh.
And it's got like a kind of French Dijon-y thing. There's olives in there too, tomatoes and shallots, and I really like it. It's but fennel is delicious.
It is so good. We put some in our coleslaw yesterday.
Yeah,
it was really good, but I think it's so good in so many things.
Yeah.
And I have been being taught lately to use more of the tops, which I generally don't mess a whole lot with the tops, but because I think of them as just a garnish, but actually they're a fabulous
Yeah, they're delicious and they're beautiful.
Yeah.
They look like dill.
Yeah, they look like dill. And they smell like licorice.
I have a friend that uses them in floral bouquets.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, perfect.
They're all kittywampus, and she grows it for that purpose.
Yep, it's a beautiful landscape plant, especially the bronze fennel. But anyway, so good in the summertime. Really, really, really good. Any last thoughts about what we should be doing this week? What's coming into peaches?
Yes.
Plums.
Yeah. I'm going to make that plum tart that's from, you know, that super popular recipe from the New York Times, their most popular recipe. So I'm looking for those dark Italian plums to do that. I'm going to do
I'm
that
waiting
this year.
For those. Those are always a little later, but they are so worth waiting for.
Yeah. And but peaches, man, just eat them.
I know. Well, that's how I feel about the Italian plums. I would love to make something out of them, however.
Yeah. Well, and you know that one thing I do a lot with peaches is I blend them up into tea. We talked about that last time, but blend it into iced tea, and that's delicious. Like one of those kind of cinnamony constant comment type teas is just really good with peaches blended up in it.
Yeah.
And that's kind of our summer fancy
it's
drink.
It's a tea Bellini. It's a Bellini without
What did
having...
you say last week? A Tellini?
Yeah, right. And no booze. The benefit of no booze.